It's the Puppet Parent Podcast, episode 42, Remembering Jim Rose. It's Valentine's Day / Lunar New Year. In this episode, we'll chat about how our kids won't do their schoolwork, Z's puppetry documentary, and Remembering Jim Rose. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast.
Yeah, we are the Puppet Parent Podcast. How's it going, Z?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Yeah.
So my name is Z.
Yes, my name is Chad.
And we are puppeteers.
And we're married.
So we're parents.
That's right.
And we have a podcast.
Yes. It's episode 42 today. Occasionally we take buys. Like we take the week off, and last week was one of those weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that just comes with parenting. Is you just don't know what your day to day is going to be like, and sometimes it's just like it's not going to happen. And last Sunday I was feeling pretty sad. A good friend of mine had passed away, and I just wanted to call it a night. Mm-hmm. Last Sunday night, the kids finally tucked in, and I was like, me too. And I just crawled into bed. Mm-hmm. So sorry, everybody.
We have officially tucked in the year of the rat. Like, good night. Thank you. Thank you very little. You're welcome even less.
Oh.
And now it's time for the year of the cow.
The bull, I thought it was. I thought it was a bull.
Bull,
cow. I like the idea. Well, either is good.
I mean, it's like
both
either
fun.
One. Like,
mm-hmm.
Year of the rat could also be year of the mouse. Year of the sheep could be year of the ram. You know,
it's
up to interpretation.
Okay.
It's based on a story. You know, the Chinese zodiac is like, it's this wacky story. But it can be whatever you want, really.
Yeah, so it's a new year.
Mm-hmm.
New lunar year.
Yes. It is the full moon, I believe.
It must be.
Past the cloud cover that is just hanging over this house.
Actually, I don't think it is a full moon because it looked quite crescenty through the cloud cover. But maybe the full moon, because it wasn't the Lunar New Year on Friday.
Yes.
So maybe there was a new moon the other day. Or I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying,
There's something bright in the sky past the clouds. Maybe it's a spotlight and we're all in the Truman Show. Who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah, so today, let's talk about today. It's Valentine's Day today.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, sweetheart.
Happy Valentine's Day to
all
of you.
And to all the lonely hearts out there, you know, like, it'll be over soon. Don't worry about it. Valentine's Day, it's one of those, like, corporate holidays. I mean, you have a lot of chocolate and cards being sold, but, you know, it's at the same time, it's a time to check in with your loved ones, right? Spread cheer and love throughout the world. That's not quite a bad thing, right?
I've grown to appreciate Valentine's Day. I didn't used to like it. I used mm-hmm. to say that we would never celebrate it.
That's right.
I mean, even after we were together, I was like, I don't like Valentine's Day. But then in the last few years, I've been like, you know what? It's nice. It's nice. So
you've gotten old enough to where the holiday, you're like, yeah, okay.
It's nice to have things to look forward to, mm-hmm. especially in the winter months when it, you know, you have the Christmas and then there's the post-Christmas time, or Hanukkah if you celebrate Hanukkah, but we celebrate both.
Well, Tu B'Shvat was, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think the Jewish calendar has things like nicely spread out.
Yeah, it's like one a month.
But
sometimes.
I mean, it feels like from here the next big thing is St. Patrick's Day, which we don't really celebrate in our family, but
And there's midwinter break.
Right.
Which is new, like us millennials back growing up in the 80s, 90s, we did not have midwinter break.
No, we didn't.
No, you just had an extended Christmas break. You had like 2 weeks for Christmas. Now I think it's like 1 week for Christmas, 1 week off in February.
Okay.
You know, you kind of split it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least how it is, I believe, here in New York State.
I don't remember, actually. But anyway, it feels like a lot of time off, and your parents are not here right now at the house.
Yes,
we've been living with Chad's parents since June 1st, so that's, you know, its own thing. Mm-hmm. And they're away for about a month, actually.
Yeah.
We've been saying 3 weeks, but then I looked at the calendar and I was like, actually, that's a month.
so they get to take a little break,
but the kids don't have school next week, and we still have work. So, or at least I mean, I have daily work. Like, I have shifts that I have to clock in and work from. So, I don't know how much, yes, you have, like, shows and stuff, but, like, I mean, my schedule is, like, permanent and, like, regular,
mm-hmm.
and your schedule is fluctuates.
Yes.
Daily. So, I don't know how much TV and screens they're going to watch next week, but it might be more than usual. But I don't know. We're going to try to keep things, you know. We had a huge long walk today outside. That was great, out in the woods.
Yeah, and, I mean, the boys, they had made Valentines for their class.
Yes, right, and then we never week. Mailed them.
But they showed them to them, I think.
No, I don't think so.
No? Well, maybe we should mail them.
I have to take pictures
them,
like, of them at least. And
there you go. And text it to people.
Tomorrow, yeah. The day after Valentine's Day. I meant to do this yesterday, but
I think that's so typical of, like, parents, though. It's like, you get it a few months later.
I'm sorry.
We're still getting Christmas cards. Whatever. It's not like contest or anything. God. It's just like, everybody's got stuff going on. It's okay. It's not like a party. It's not like a birthday party where you're waiting for the guest of honor to show up.
I mean, can't all February be Valentine's month? You know, really? Like, what does it have to stop on the 14th?
I mean,
I'm just saying.
February is Black History Month.
I'm trying to make myself feel better about not sending out the Valentines for our kids.
If you said that about Black History Month, yes, every day can be Black History Month. Absolutely.
I feel that way, and I agree about that.
Valentine's.
I'm just trying to make myself feel better. Okay, whatever. So I totally didn't mail out our kids' Valentines to their friends. And also, our oldest son's birthday is at the end of the month. And he's decided that he wants to have an online Zoom party with some of his friends, and they're going to watch a movie together. But it's a movie I've never seen, so we need to screen this movie.
I have watched this
you've
movie.
Is it appropriate for everyone to watch?
Yeah, it's a movie called Megamind.
Is it funny? Like, is it a good movie?
Is it funny?
It's definitely the end of the week here, people. I'm tired.
No, it's Sunday night. It's all good. So Megamind. It's 10 years old, at least. It's like a CG DreamWorks superhero movie.
Never heard of it.
In the vein of The Incredibles, but it's not by Disney. It has Jim Carrey.
Okay.
And Steve Carell from The Office.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And one's a superhero and one's a supervillain. And it kind of breaks down superheroes and supervillains and stuff. And it talks a lot about like gaslighting and nice guys and why nice guys are bad. Like, okay. not like superhero nice guy, but like nice guy, like incel nice guy. Like, before we started using that word, there is an incel villain in this movie.
I don't even know what incel
where
means.
Starts out as like a nice guy, a little creepy, little like, stay away from me, don't say those awful things to me. And then when you don't give them attention, oh man, they explode.
Oh. Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
So this is what Leaf wants.
This is what we're going to watch on
eighth birthday party.
It's a funny kids movie, but
okay,
there's
great.
Also there's stuff in there for adults too.
Cool.
It is well loved by the internet.
All right. So we're gonna watch that movie on Zoom.
Yeah.
With his friends and parents, and then sing happy birthday all together and mm-hmm. watch him blow out a candle, I think. So that's gonna be our Zoom party.
Maybe he can clap out a candle. Because I don't think anybody's going to go back to blowing out a candle.
Well, we have done candles not on cakes for years now,
oh,
our
that
family.
That is true.
So I don't see anything wrong with blowing out a candle mm-hmm. as long as it's not, like, attached to the food that you're blowing, that you're going to eat.
Right. We have a birthday ring, mm-hmm. which is to your credit, you told us all, you were like, we are adopting the birthday ring. You bought one on Etsy.
Yeah.
And it's like three pieces of wood you can put
Actually,
candles in that
you
form
know
a circle.
What? Just for historical sake, I wanted to buy
it?
One on Etsy, but Stacey Haynes' husband, Peter, had made one, but he didn't make it like perfect for Stacey. So I ended up getting Stacey's old birthday ring that Pete had made.
The prototype and birthday ring.
Yes, yes. And so it works great for us. And thanks, Pete. And I love it.
It's beautiful. I can't think of anything wrong with the little holders
the way that she wanted. Like, there's these little cute things. If you follow the Waldorf stuff, oh my God, it's like a whole rabbit hole of stuff that you can like buy and cutesy wooden things that, you know what, every time I would buy a cutesy wooden thing for my kids, like that I was like, you know, appraised or like beloved by the Waldorf community, my kids would either break it or completely ignore it. So really, who was those purchases for? Me. They were for me. Yes. And
sometimes you just gotta accept that. You're like, you know, I thought this was a good idea. They're not into it. That's okay. We've learned.
I mean, just not my kids. My kids are not the ones to dress up in rainbow silks and go frolicking in the meadows with their little Ostheimer wooden things. I never bought an Ostheimer wooden animal, just to be clear, because they're stupid expensive.
Yeah.
But, you know.
What makes those Waldorf wooden toys so expensive?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of they're obsessed with like German culture too. Uh-huh. And like so maybe it's just that it's like handmade from uh-huh. another country, blah de blah. I don't know. I honestly don't know what
if you have enough money to put your kids in a Waldorf school, you're going to be able to buy a $60 gnome. Besides your gnome, thumb.
Weather gnomes. Oh my goodness, all the gnomes. And I was like, oh, we could do gnomes. And then I would try to introduce like an idea of gnomes. Mm-hmm. Shut down every time. They did not definitely, especially Leaf, the older one, not interested in the gnomes.
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, our oldest son's birthday is in exactly 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, okay, I have some presents that I just like have around, you know, like I have a present pile that was for like encouraging schoolwork, but now is just kind of sitting there. So I'm like, all right, maybe I could use a couple presents for the present pile. And then also like, oh, you know, there were like a couple things that maybe I could have brought out for Christmas, but I was taking a look at the Christmas pile like all together because you get things shipped to you Christmas-wise, so I was looking at the Christmas pile altogether, and I was like, yeah, you know what? Take out a couple of those. It's too much. It's too big of a Christmas pile. We'll just save this for later. So I was thinking about, like, all right, so I got, like, this, and this kind of saved up, and you can't just let it sit for, like, years, or because they're going to age out of liking these things. So, all right, is it time to use these? Do I need to buy anything more for, like, birthday presents? And then, thinking about that, I was like, well, all right, but what is he into, and what do I like, and that also overlaps. It's like a Venn diagram of things I like and things I know my kid likes, and in the middle, hopefully, there's like one that we can do together.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I was reminding myself a couple times today. I was like, he is not an activity guide coloring book person at all. I was like, oh, but this coloring book with the character that he likes from that video game. No, actually, no, he's not even going to open that. But he will devour an encyclopedia of facts about something he's into. So yeah. I was like, all right, you know, as much as I was like, oh, man, this activity book looks really good. It's got great reviews. Mm-hmm. It's slightly expensive, so you know it's good. People are like, these are thick pages in the review. You know, I was like, oh, it's a good idea. No, there's no way.
Not for him. Maybe no. The other one as he gets older. Maybe.
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 I don't know. Were you ever into activity books?
Yes, I was an only child.
Got it. Did you ever like complete a whole activity book? Like
pay? No, but I had a filing cabinet drawer filled with coloring books.
Wow.
So I don't know that I ever sat down and completed an entire activity book, but I had lots of pages started and lots of them, which is just like a symbol of my creative process for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I think I would start one and think, oh, I'm gonna finish this whole one, and then never finish it, and then start another one and start another one, and you know.
Z.
Yep.
You know, the last time that I ever completed an activity book, I'm just like looking at us like are we too dark in this
yes,
video right
now? Yes, we're very dark.
Wow. It's shining right in your face.
Doing it.
Yes, beautiful. As I adjust the camera here, getting a little better, getting a little brighter.
Make us look brighter and better.
Right? There we go.
Okay. Thanks, camera guy, Chad.
Anytime. So the last time I ever completed a coloring book was at MAGFest, which is a video game music festival. And one time somebody brought, I think it was at, it was either at MAGFest or a weekend long house party in Pennsylvania, but somebody brought a kid's activity book, like a kid's coloring book. And everybody, because we were all, you know, like 20-somethings having fun, made every single page like the silliest, funniest, raunchiest.
I was not there.
Ever. And thinking very fondly of probably like 15 years ago, all the pages in this coloring book were full because you finish one, you make somebody laugh, and then they take it and they finish one and kind of pass it around. It's fun. It's like a cool, fun, like, party game, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I've been doing is because I have to sit with our kids for their remote schooling, because they do screen school every morning, Monday through Friday. And I have to sit across from our older son. So it's the end of a long kitchen table. So our older son sits on one end and I kind of let him try to do it on his own. And then our younger son, who's in kindergarten, I sit next to him the whole time. But I have become fond of coloring his work sheets because all of his stuff have cute little, like, you know, icons and animals and stuff on them. And it's fun to look at. And so in order to encourage him to do the work, I've been coloring them in while he's listening to the teacher or after he's completed the like, you know, fill in the numbers, you know, or whatever. If it's a math sheet, then I go in and, like, you know, color in the little doggies holding the hearts or whatever. And I told his teacher, I said, you know, just so you know, Finn is not coloring that great. That's me. Coloring his
I'm pretty
worksheets.
Sure the teacher can tell which one the,
you know,
the
I just wanted to be
doing.
Like, hey, just so you know. But then what's been fun is that sometimes if he has to be listening to something for a long time, like another student telling a story for a very long time, we'll take turns coloring. So I'll color something, then I hand it to him, and then he colors something. So that's been a nice way to stay engaged in the class while at the same time acknowledging that maybe you don't have to stay completely 100% engaged the entire time. I don't know, maybe I'm setting him up for bad habits in the future, but it's working. He's not running around, and you can still see him on the screen, and it looks like he's dutifully, you know, getting stuff done. So I think
that's been the real struggle, but I think we're making progress. Is getting our older son to do his work. It's been a week maybe or two of, like, he doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And I've been there. I feel like as artists or as whatever, sometimes they're just like the thing that you know you have to do, but you just can't force yourself to do it. And unfortunately, sometimes when that's schoolwork and it has to get done that day, this week, like probably 2 weeks, he has been just sitting at the table for just hours, not completing a single sentence. And I know he can do it, well, you know, he just having a hard time motivating himself to do it.
To his credit, he's actually done quite well in class when the class is happening. But then after class, when he has to complete the work or when he's not in class in that moment, those are the times that he's struggling because he doesn't really just, he just doesn't feel like doing the work. He doesn't, and it's hard for him to focus anyways. So it's been more of a struggle lately with that. But then on the flip side, he's been better about being engaged in class. And we're working on, I think I've commented on this before, how I have all these hand signals for him to, like, but the thing we're really working on is, okay, find your end. Find your end. Mm-hmm. Because he could just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And then the teacher eventually has to be like, that's great, Leaf, and then mute, mute him because he just won't stop. So this it's like a chorus, like, I'm like, find your end. And I do this, like, cut off.
Yeah.
I don't know if he really, listens to me or cares about that, but we're trying. Mm-hmm. We're trying to encourage that, like, you know, even tonight as I'm saying goodnight, he's like still talking. I'm like shutting the door. I'm like, good night. I love you. Daddy's waiting for me downstairs.
Wait for him to run out of breath and then be like, okay, thank you. Yeah.
Anyway, he's just got a lot to say. Yes. I mean, so I try to make, I actually looked it up one night because I was like, you can Google anything about your kids and it'll give you advice whether you take it or not. And I looked up, my child will not stop talking. And one of the things was make time to just listen to them.
Yes.
So that other times you can say, you know what, I can't listen right now, but I will listen if you want to sit up here and keep me company while I make mm-hmm. dinner or something like that, so that you can just talk and talk and talk. And you don't have to be like fully engaged. You can just say, oh, great. Okay. Because they just want to share with somebody all of the information that they have.
Yeah.
But if you never find a time to actually listen to it, mm-hmm. and then it can become like sad for them. Yeah. So
I mean, this is our time to talk and talk and talk,
I guess. So yeah. Yeah. Sunday nights, like, it feels like a great idea because then you get your whole Sunday, but then also it's like, oh, I'm tired. But then also Sundays, it feels like, oh, I need to like start revving up because it's the beginning of another week, here we go. But really, I'm just tired, you know. Yeah. But I think a good night's sleep and then we'll wake up in the morning. And it's nice to not have the pressure of having to get them ready for school. They could just stay in their pajamas all day tomorrow and whatever. And plus, your parents aren't here. So yes. No judgment.
No rules.
No, his parents are great. So but there is a different dynamic not having other adults who are adults for you around to, you know, oversee your adulting. So if anybody has been in a situation like that, then you can relate, maybe. I never would have thought that I would have lived with my husband's parents in-laws for so many months since June 1st, but here we are. Here we are.
Here we are. Boom, boom. Born to be kings. Oh,
can I tell you that I taught Finn the wiggle it just a little bit. I taught that to him because he was wiggling his tooth because it's about to come out. And I don't know what it's from. I just remember it. And now that's all he's singing.
It's a 90s techno song.
Oh, well, that's all. And then I said to Finn, I don't remember if it's wiggle it or jiggle it, but it's one of those.
It's wiggle it.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yes. I taught him correctly. So he keeps wiggling his tooth and going, wiggle it just a little bit. And it's the cutest thing.
Oh, man.
Well, you have hilarious. To have him sing it to you tomorrow. It's so funny.
So today we took our kids out for a walk because it's extremely cold here in Western New York. Not as cold as in New York City because there's wind. You got the river. You got the ocean. It's ultra cold. But there's like snow everywhere, and they got food inside. We got video games. We got cartoons. Like, why would you ever leave? Right? but we had to leave to mark a trail because Z's going to get some exercise on, right? The snowshoes strapped to her. Take the dog outside, maybe. We're taking care of a standard poodle with us now. Mm-hmm. We have a dog. My parents' dog that we're taking care of. So Z is like, here's my exercise plan, and I'm supporting her by forcing everyone out the door so we can mark the trail so you don't get lost.
Yes.
So Z got a bag full of little red cloth strips.
Yes.
And we went outside with the kids, and we went about 10 feet. And then everyone sat down in the snow and said, I'm too tired.
Well, it's tall snow. So it was hard for me to walk through the tall snow.
Yes.
So it was challenging for them. But then when we finally got to the trailhead, it wasn't as bad. But it was walking through the backyard snow that hadn't been walked through yet.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bit of a thing.
Yeah. Well, it's like 2 feet of snow. And the snow on the bottom is packed. It's packed hard, like igloo snow.
Yeah.
Very good for igloo snow. But walking through that occasionally, like sometimes your foot just stays on top of the igloo snow. Sometimes it just goes straight through towards the hurtling towards the center of the planet.
I had high hopes at the beginning of the winter that we were going to make an igloo. I don't know who that person was. That was a whole lot of optimism right there, the idea of making an actual igloo. Because then I looked up how to make an igloo, and then I read a lot about how to make an igloo, and then I thought, you know what? Forget the igloo thing. You know what we're going to do? We're going to make our own skating pond in the backyard. And then I read up how to do that and how to make your own in Zamboni, and then I was like, what am I talking about? I can't even, like, keep up with, you know, making dinner, let alone make an igloo or a skating pond. So
skating pond.
Oh, can I also share that our older son is saying that he wants to be a vegetarian, and we keep having this conversation about vegetarianism. One of his best friends, their family is vegan, and what does that mean? And I was a vegetarian for a very, very long time, and
you were a vegan for.
I was a vegan for a couple years. I think. I thought it was a couple years. Maybe it was a year. I don't know. I love cream cheese. It was. That was basically all of the dairy products. Not necessarily cheese as much, but like cream cheese, yogurt, mm-hmm. cottage cheese, like soft white things.
I feel like many children go through this phase of like, well, I love animals, but we're eating animals. Maybe we could stop eating the animals, right?
So we're having a vegetarian week this yeah. week to dip our toe in the water and see how possible is it for our kids to actually eat healthy meals. And I mean, if there's leftovers in the fridge that are not vegetarian, we will be eating those, but I'm not cooking any meat this week.
Right. And you know, let's say that typically back home in New York City, mm-hmm. we had weaned ourselves off of most meats. We were eating chicken. We were eating birds only, basically, like turkey dogs, yeah. occasionally like ground turkey.
No red meat, no pork.
Yeah.
And so it was like turkey, chicken, and fish.
Yeah.
And so we will still have fish. We had mm-hmm. fish the other night, so I guess we're pescatarian right now. We will see how it goes. I have a lineup of recipes that I'm excited about, but I have a feeling that the kids might not love.
I hope that they like it, because, you know, he really wants this to work. And if he hates all the dinners that you're going to make, I feel like it's going to have a really, like, really influence him.
I'm going to try a whole bunch of different things. He might not like all of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way it is. But if you're going to do it, you have to do it healthy.
Yes.
And I told him, like, you know, I love cooking for them, but also it's challenging when they don't eat foods. But I'll tell you that tonight I made black bean burgers, which I used to make all the time when they were babies. And before we had kids, I make our own, like, from scratch. And they ate them tonight. They ate the black bean burgers, you guys. Woo! So, small victories.
I'm just sitting here saying, like, how is our screen so dark? It's just crazy.
I thought it was your computer.
Feels like it's getting darker all the time.
Yes, it does.
this is what it should look like.
I thought it was just your computer.
You know, every time I look at these videos on Facebook, mm-hmm. I was like, why is it so dark? We got let's see, 5, 6, 7, 8 lights on us right now. So if you're watching this,
I mean, I just assume like Chad knows what he's doing. It looks dark to me, but then again, I have glasses on and there's light in my face.
You gotta speak up at all times, because I do know what I'm doing, but clearly there's a difference, when I set it up and it's just me, it's way different than when,
well, there's no one sitting over here on this.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, mm-hmm. So let's talk about puppet shows.
Okay.
Yeah. I have been thinking about puppet shows this week because our dear friend Jim passed.
Yeah.
And during his, we kind of had like an online wake, kind of, for a lot of his friends and
it was
colleagues.
A sharing circle, I'd say.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it a wake, but I would call it a sharing circle. Mm-hmm. You could call it a wake if you want to, but But he passed away on Saturday, and then there was a bunch of people from the O'Neill National Puppetry Conference who got together online to share memories. But for me, he was very close. I mean, in a sense, he was like family to me, and I was just too soon. I couldn't share anything. So I just listened a lot, and then I tried to share something, and I cried. So I could not share anything. Now I'm a little bit more together. You know, I'm still very, very sad. But
yeah. I mean, everybody has their coping ways. I was ever since I learned the joy and excitement of turning a wake into like a roast. That's kind of my favorite thing because, you know, our friend Charles died, and months later, our friends at our annual get together, like we all got together with a bunch of his friends that we had no idea, you know, from like different communities, and everybody had like a funny story, and that helped a lot and made me feel great and made me feel like, oh man, I want to do this every time. You know, somebody that, you know, passes is like, share like the good stories, like the funny stories. Like when my Uncle Bernard passed away, I was telling everybody about how he was like early into the internet before the World Wide Web became a thing, how he was like, he could battle you over the OG original Doom on PC over dial-up. You know, back when you had to, like, input somebody's IP address specifically, you know, it wasn't simple, it wasn't easy, like, matchmaking. And when I was, like, sharing those stories, people who never knew that he ever played a video game ever were learning that he was really into video games and, like, BBS boards, like, way back in, like, mid-90s. So, yeah, I came in with the mission that I was going to share some of the things that, because somebody was recording the Zoom call, so mm-hmm. I came in thinking like, I'm gonna share like these two things that are really important to me, that the good Jim stories, you know.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And there are plenty that I did not share.
Yeah.
But the one that, because so if you don't know, Jim Rose was, he's known as a marionettist and a mentor who teaches people how to properly make and maintain and perform marionettes. Marionettes are string puppets. Many people do not know he performs in costume every single year as a punch professor, as like a person who does hand puppets at Mount Vernon in full period costume with his wife Judy, mm-hmm. sitting out in front of the stage. Mm-hmm. And I was so, when we drove down to Mount Vernon to see him perform, it was so cool because we performed at a medieval festival in Manhattan every year for a while. And yeah. So it was cool to see another kind of like Ren Faire situation where he's performing. I think they're performing like every day?
For a couple days. Mm-hmm. It was a couple shows a day, I think. Yeah. I don't really remember, but it was like a festival that they had, an annual festival.
Yes. And it was really cool to see him perform. He performed with all his puppets are one finger in the head, which we do not do. We do two fingers in the head because it gives you more stability. If you have one finger in the head, it makes this kind of awkward. I feel like it's awkward where
it's a more traditional style, though.
Can't do much. And these two fingers, your ring finger and your pinky finger, just sit there doing nothing.
Or they hold a centerpiece of in the puppet to keep the puppet like stable. You can put something here to hold on to.
Yes, which he did.
Yeah,
which is super cool about some of his puppets, but his design for the characters is so striking. He did a really great job with the heads of those puppets.
Mm-hmm.
Built everything himself, and he was really funny as a punch professor. I feel like I learned a lot just by being there and watching as like an audience member.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I can share much still, even. I mean, it's just, he was just very, very special to me. I made a documentary film about his parents, and through that process, I got to know him, but then I also got to know so many other beautiful and amazing people, and you know, a couple people reached out to me to say that they recently watched the film or that they, you know, that they relate to what I'm, you know, what I'm feeling. But, you know, so many of the people that I interviewed for that movie have since passed on. And so it's hard for me to watch the movie even because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's just hard for me. Also, I didn't even know what I was doing making that movie. I'd never made a documentary before. I'd never even taken a class in how to make a documentary or to how to make a movie. I just decided I was going to do that because it seemed like what I was supposed to do. And I can't even tell you why. I just, sometimes I get like, I don't know, like a message almost in my brain that says you're supposed to do this. And I've learned over time, you know, to not question it. You just do it. And then you kind of figure out why later. And so I made this movie. And it was a huge learning experience for me. I mean, I guess technically I never finished it, but I did premiere it. And a lot of people got to watch it. And now it's online and it's and it's unfinished, but kind of finished state. There are some errors in it. There's like a couple images that are upside down. I don't even think I can access the original file anymore at this point because it's so old. To fix it, but I wanted to make sure that it was online so that other people could appreciate it. I have transcripts of all of these interviews with so many people from all over the country. I traveled all over the country during my last year of grad school to make this movie, and I don't know. Jim was the first person that I interviewed for that movie, and he was also one of the last people I interviewed for that movie because the first time I interviewed anybody, I didn't know what I was doing. So I learned a lot after going all over the place. And I was young. I was like 23 years old or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no inhibitions. So I would call these people who've never met me. And the only connection that we have is that, well, they're famous puppeteers in a sense. And I am a puppeteer. And so I'd say, hey, can I interview you for this movie I'm making about Margot and Rufus Rose, the puppeteers from the Howdy Doody show? Oh, by the way, can I stay at your place? Or do you know any place that I could stay? And so not only did I film and record them, but I also slept overnight at their house. So I slept overnight at Patty Blackwood's house. No, not Patty Blackwood's. Velma Dawson's house at the caretakers for the Puppetry Arts Institute. Patty Blackwood was an artist in residence there. At Gary Busk's home, I slept overnight. So I slept overnight in a lot of people's homes. Philip Huber, yeah. We stayed overnight at Phil. But was that for the film? No. Did I interview Philip for this film, though?
You did.
I did. So yes. Did I stay overnight at his house?
Probably.
I don't even remember. I must have. I don't know. It's so, all a blur.
It's like a who's who of American puppetry couches that Z crashed on for this movie.
I don't know that I would ever now be so, you know, like forthright like that. But I was a college student and people were like, yeah, you can stay at our place. No problem.
Right.
You know?
Well, you want to talk puppets?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Right? I mean, where else am I going to stay? Especially at Velma Dawson's house. Like, that was so cool to stay at her place.
What was it like, Velma? So, Velma Dawson, the person who designed...
She designed and she built the Howdy Doody character that everyone recognizes as Howdy Doody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was restrung by Rufus because Rufus Rose, who ended up being the head performer of that character. But that makes sense to me because, you know, different puppeteers have different styles. And if you're going to be performing a puppet, you're going to make it work for you. So, but the style of Howdy Doody was created, the one that we know, because there was an earlier version of Howdy Doody that most people don't remember that was created by Frank Paris. But the one that we all recognize as being, that's Howdy Doody, that's Velma Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out and interviewed her because I wanted to make sure that if I'm doing a piece about people who are most known for their work on Howdy Doody, that part of the story was included because I had always overheard that there was like an East Coast, West Coast feud and that people never fully understood and that the Roses got all the credit and Velma never got any credit. And so I made sure to fly out to Palm Springs and interview Velma Dawson. And awesome. I also interviewed Renee Zendejas, who has also passed on since. And he was a well-known marionettist in the L.A. area. And I stayed with my friend, Rob, was it, out there. Oh, it's hard to remember everybody's names all at once. But anyway,
no worry.
A fellow UConn grad who has gone on to do, you know, other things. And I think is now in Tennessee. So, it was a really crazy project, but it was a really great project. And I'm so grateful for everyone who helped make that possible. And that's how I got to be such good friends with Jim Rose and Judy Rose. And then also the rest of the Rose family, Chris Rose and Rufus Rabbling Rose. I'm not as much in touch with them because I didn't get to really see them after the project. But Jim Rose is so heavily involved in the puppetry community that I would constantly see him. Mm-hmm. And so then it was always like a family check-in. And then I would start going to his house because I'd been to his house already to interview him. So then it was like, well, I should just keep coming over, know? and then he and Judy would invite us over. And then we had kids and they said, we need to see your kids. You need to come to the house. And they even offered to sell us their house in Yellow Springs. They wanted us to move to Yellow Springs and they wanted us to be their neighbors. And we had to say, our life is in New York City.
Yeah. But it was sweet.
It was super sweet.
To even think of us,
and sometimes if I didn't call back within like a certain amount of time, I would start getting pokes through text messages like, hey, I left you a voicemail. Are you going to call me back or not? And from Judy Rose, his wife. And you know what? That's family, man. If people can start being like, you know, you got to call me back. Then yeah. Yes, that's right. So it was a sad week because I had to say goodbye in a sense to a dear friend and family member, but I feel like we had so many beautiful moments that I just get to keep reliving those, and I'm not as sad as I was, so yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jim is definitely, we're all missing him, you know. And I think the best thing we can do is live up to his memory and try to be as awesome as he was and as sweet and as kind and giving, you know?
Yeah, he mm-hmm. was super giving.
Yeah.
Of his time and his thoughts, and he was a very good listener.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And during that punch show, he could really stick it to you.
He had some good zingers.
Yes, true. He was the only punch professor I've seen who was not like mean, like mean towards the audience or mean towards the other characters. It was just like, this is a funny comedy bit that's happening.
Yeah.
And you're all invited along for the ride.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I would definitely do punch a different way. And I've seen punch done a different way often. But Jim definitely had all the traditional punch beats. And he even had a bit with Hector the horse.
Hester? I thought it was Hester.
Oh.
Maybe it is Hector.
Yeah, he has a horse. But Punch usually, well, I've seen many Punch and Judy shows, like videos around from like England. And you never see the bit with the horse. The horse who Mr. Punch says, this is Hector, my horse.
It is Hector.
And
yeah.
he does exactly what I say. And then the horse does, you know, the opposite of what he says. It's hilarious. So
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Anywho, there are some clips of Jim Rose around and on YouTube, and you can see a bit of his Punch and Judy show should you search for it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And on that, I think that's it for this week. Look what we learned. We learned that I feel like every time I look at the screen, it looks darker, which is crazy. But let's call it an episode.
Yes, that sounds good.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are once again the Puppet Parent Podcast. You can listen to us every single week. We record Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Although, man, it feels like we're tired every time we do this. Maybe you need to change that up.
Maybe we'll change it up again.
Yeah. So we'll let you know if that happens. Our puppet company is called Wonderspark Puppets. You can check us out that on wondersparkpuppets.com. If you're looking to listen to these more of these episodes, you can check us out anywhere you get your podcasts or download the MP3s specifically over at puppetparentpodcast.com. There's also a podcast called Puppet Podcast, which is a very prolific podcast, which is not us. It's the amazing Caroline who does that podcast.
Oh, and out of Montreal. She's lovely.
And she, and it's a trilingual thing. It's an interview podcast. You got to listen to it. It's amazing. We are developing a new show right now. Tomorrow, I'm going to press click on a newsletter email that's going to send out and tell you all about that. Z's been building the bodies, and I'll be building the heads, and we'll see where it goes. But definitely check us out on World Puppetry Day coming up on, I think, Sunday, March 21st. And it looks like Brad Lowe in chat.
Yeah, Brad's saying that they premiered the film when he was the president of the Detroit Puppetry Guild, that they showed it at the Detroit Institute of Arts, and Jim Rose was the guest.
Aww, that's nice.
Aw, that's so nice to hear, Brad. Thank you.
Yay.
Yay.
Well, on that, you can check us out on social media. Just search Wonderspark Puppets if you're not watching this on YouTube or Facebook. We're also on Instagram, but not as much. But anyway, be well, stay safe, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, everyone. Take care of yourselves and each other. And if you're having a hard time, make sure you find somebody to talk to.
Bye.